From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions is live on Sports Grid as our coverage of Thursday night football kicks off week 3 with you here, Jets Patriots, the NFL rolls on. I'm Kevin Wallace with you for the next hour. We roll it here on Game Time Decisions. Donnie Wrightside stops by at 6:30. We get his breakdowns for tonight's game. If you're lucky, we'll ask him about the baseball board. You know, he always has eyes and whatever is happening in Major League Baseball. Pre-game show is at 7. Casey Hudson leads it, and it'll take us right into kickoff for an AFC East battle with the Pro Football Today crew. Myself, Donnie, and Joe Lisi will be live for all 4 quarters for a pretty important game, as we're going to get a 2-1 team tonight in the AFC East, and every expectation is it will be the New York Jets. That's where we begin our show, of course, tonight. A 6.5-point favorite. Always shop around, get the best of the number, depending on what side you like in this one. Total checking in, 38.5. for this AFC East matchup. Now, when we think about the preseason perception for these two teams, one were the division favorites, the other favored to have the worst record in the league this season. That would be the New England Patriots. Now, the last time New England was on the road, it was week number 1, catching over a touchdown to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they won that game outright. Depending on where you were getting your numbers for New England in week number 2, they're a tidy little 2-0 against the number if you had plus 3.5. If you had 3, it was never 2.5, so certainly not a team with a loss yet in the ATS column. But if you had a 3.5, you covered a 3, you pushed in their week 2 matchup with the Seattle Seahawks. We take a look at their game tonight, though, with the New York Jets, and we've seen this movement. You wonder how much of that is up to Jermaine Johnson's absence, a torn Achilles suffered in the Jets' victory over the Tennessee Titans. Pair that with a questionable tag on C.J. Mosley, still waiting for word on whether he'll be a go tonight. And it looks like we could see a comparable spot for the Jets that we saw with Seattle, where a banged-up linebacker room could give the Patriots a little bit of leeway here tonight to do what they do best, at least for the first 2 weeks of the season, and that is run the football and trust their defense as best as possible. I'm going to be on the Jets in this game, though. I laid the 6. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment, but let's look at some big picture options here, and we'll start with the New York Jets, who are a plus 220 number now to win the AFC East. If you think about the New York Jets, they were preseason favorites. Now, the tricky spot for the Jets, you lose week number 1, business handled. All no, obviously, we saw business handled by the San Francisco 49ers. But the Jets didn't win in week number 2, and all of a sudden it's the Buffalo Bills who crash up and become your favorites here. At more of a price than I would have expected. Look, while the Jets are 1-1, certainly not a sky is falling record. Confident favorites here in their week 2 game with New England. You compare it to Buffalo, albeit 2-0, but the Bills are not some monstrous, unlosable number. They're shorter favorites in their game against the Jacksonville Jaguars than the Jets are. So I'm a little surprised to see that -130 Buffalo number, but perhaps some of that is just due to a crashing number on the Miami Dolphins due to the fact that Tua Tagovailoa has been added to the IR. For those that were not here with us through any of, you know, the pre-show or preseason kind of picks in action, but I'm on the Miami Dolphins to win the AFC. Obviously, the Tua injury changes a lot of things, and it's changed where really all of the AFC East kind of has an outlook now, because you could either get an easy win or steal a game in a spot where it was expected to be a lot more challenging. The Jets were not sure if they're going to miss the Tua Tagovailoa absence starts. Time will tell on how long Tua is out for. New England likely will. And this is all adding to why we're seeing the Patriots have a huge shift in the market on worst record. A new number now checking in at 15-1, but still a huge favorite, -600 to miss the postseason here, are the New England Patriots. When we think about where this team stacks up against the bottom of the barrel, and we're talking New York Giants, Carolina Panthers, Denver Broncos, those teams, you know, for New England, just getting that week 1 victory, the upset over Cincinnati, taking advantage of the Bengals' week 1 woes, as well as the absence of T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase not practicing, could very well be enough for New England to make inroads here and stay outside of picking first, second overall, though that's not great. Because for the Patriots, you want to get the best pick possible, and there's no expectations here that New England will do anything other than still draft inside that top 10. And it's reflected within the AFC East odds, despite all of that uncertainty for Miami. Despite the Patriots having the same record as the Dolphins or the Jets, they're a 16-1 price to win the AFC East. We've shown you those AFC East odds there. -130 on the Buffalo Bills, a +220 number on the New York Jets. The Dolphins are at +550. Pats check in 16-1. It'll be very interesting to see what the Dolphins do this week in Seattle. That's been a dropping spread. 6.5's all gone. Last look, a 4.5-point number in the Pacific Northwest this week for a traveling Miami Dolphins team. Let's put these quarterbacks side by side here. Jacoby Brissett and Aaron Rodgers, obviously way different in terms of expectations and pedigree. Rodgers tonight, 215.5 for a passing total. Over 1.5 passing touchdowns is a plus price. Rodgers did get 2 on the board in that victory that they had over the Tennessee Titans. Aaron Rodgers in his career has been a machine, going over 1.5 passing touchdowns. You still see the plus price there, more indicative of a low total, 38.5. And just what's been going on this season, not a lot of passing touchdowns out there. It's understandable to see that number check in where it is. I'm involved tonight with Aaron Rodgers on the ground, 12-1, anytime rushing touchdown. I think Rodgers here has been waiting for this moment for a long time now. The home debut was obviously cut short last season against Buffalo. First 2 weeks there on the road. I think the environment is going to be absolutely electric tonight for the Jets' home opener here. And it also comes against the New England Patriots. You really can't overstate how important this is for Jets fans. I believe tonight is the first time in 25 years, was it, that the Jets are favored over the New England Patriots. For the Jets, one of the biggest issues during, you know, this tough run has been New England absolutely owning the New York Jets. Rodgers has to be able to go out there tonight and make a statement, and he might force it a little bit. Little, how you doing? See you later around the sideline. Wouldn't shock me at 12-1. It's worth a shot there. Your Jacoby Brissett props tonight, very low, 163.5. Despite the size of the dog there, so far we've not seen Jacoby Brissett open it up whatsoever. Wonder what that looks like if we see more of a trailing situation here in this game. Let's put the running backs on the board quickly so people have an idea. I'm sure a lot of folks tonight will be betting both Breece Hall and Ramondre Stevenson. I'm involved with both of these guys tonight. I'm on Ramondre Stevenson over the receiving yards. I'm on Breece Hall alt. The Breece Hall stuff, it doesn't necessarily... It's not a spot where I'm dying to attack New England's defense. It's a spot that where Breece Hall can break out because he hasn't done it yet. Game script was not there against the San Francisco 49ers, and then he just didn't have a chance to break loose against Tennessee, who is offering up a very good defense through their opening 2 weeks of football here. Breece Hall, 120-plus rushing yards at 10-1 is something that I'm involved with here. Took a little bit of his longest rush. He has the highest anytime touchdown number tonight. We'll see where he stacks up with the field in just a moment. Pass-catching props tonight. Garrett Wilson, the star. I am sure. Likely people will look Hunter Henry's direction for New England. But what about Mike Williams? We saw his snap percentage double last week against Tennessee. Is he the number two? Is Alan Lazard the number two? I think tonight could go a long way in telling us. But also, it is a short week. If Mike Williams on a short week doesn't play a ton, it wouldn't be the most surprising thing in the world. I think Mike Williams week number four is very likely going to be...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Someone on my card. Let's put up your anytime touchdown scores. Then we're going to go through my full list tonight here on a Thursday night game between the Jets and the Patriots. Breece minus 175, and then everybody else checking in at a plus price. As I mentioned, my guy tonight, Aaron Rodgers, 12-1 to find the end zone. Doesn't even make the top 10 of that list. We'll go through it all. We're with you here. It's Sports Grid on a Thursday night. Kevin Walsh, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live to right here on Sports Grid. Let's get in the mix, folks. What do you say on this Thursday night? Kevin Walsh with you. Want to reset the board here for Thursday night football. It's definitely a big one, big picture, because the Jets cannot lose this game. I actually think it's fair to say if you are the New York Jets, you want to be a legitimate top team in this conference. On a Thursday night in your own building, you have to handle your business against the New England Patriots. I think they'll do just that. I mentioned off the top, I am on New England tonight, laying the 6 points, or excuse me, I'm on the New York Jets tonight, laying the 6 points, and this is where you guys have heard me talk spread math before, moving numbers. I think we're finally seeing the market put respect on the name of the New England Patriots, which is fair and warranted. Again, winning outright in Cincinnati, and then being able to get the job done against the Seattle Seahawks from a cover perspective is absolutely fine and dandy. But I still don't think this is a very good football team here in New England. We saw Geno Smith light them up through the air. 327 passing yards in that game. Threw it 44 times. The ground game for Seattle was not good. Losing Kenneth Walker and not as good of an offensive line as what I think the Jets have going into tonight's matchup didn't allow them to get that element of their offense rolling, where I think the Jets tonight can stay a little more balanced and unpredictable against New England, who, sure, they have Gerard Mayo as a head coach who's done a nice job so far, but doesn't have a lot of great weaponry at his disposal here in this football game. And Christian Gonzalez is a top guy for when people mention the Patriots defense, the sophomore corner out of Oregon. Well, through 2 weeks of football, we've seen Metcalf and Jamar Chase still be the team's lead option. So I think there will be chances here for Garrett Wilson. Let's compare what we saw for New England in week number one. They go to Cincinnati. They catch 7.5 points. Now we get here to week three, and this is a flat 6 in plenty of spaces here with the New York Jets. Preseason, the Jets, I would believe, were power rated by books stronger than the Cincinnati Bengals. And again, that was a team in Cincinnati who was laying 7.5, while books were well aware there was no T. Higgins. So I see this number tonight. I think we're seeing too much of a move positively for New England. I also think the Jets' victory over the Tennessee Titans is catching too much of a, oh, they should have lost. I don't know. I see it a lot. Everybody's very excited about the Titans this week against the Green Bay Packers. The way that game played out for Tennessee against Chicago, where they were up 17-0 and then Will Levis completely gave him the game gave the game away. That's not how it played out in the game against the Jets. There was no 17-0 lead. That game was 7-0 to Tennessee and then 7-7. And then it was 10-7 to Tennessee, and then it was 14-10 New York. That was just, you know, the Titans never led in this football game after the Jets scored the 26-yard passing touchdown to Breece Hall. I think we're seeing too much negativity on what was a Jets road win and cover here at -6. I got to get involved tonight with the New York Jets. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I mentioned Garrett Wilson getting home. I am on over 22.5 longest completion or reception, rather, for Garrett Wilson in this football game. Week number one, Ja'Marr Chase gets there with a 28-yard catch. And then in week number two, DK Metcalf against New England gets there on a 56-yard touchdown. So Garrett Wilson's going to have opportunities. Last week, he went over this prop. And I think we could see Rodgers take a few more shots. If you look so far this season, he has just one completion over 30 yards. And it was to Alan Lazard, that broken play one against San Fran that resulted in a touchdown pass. If you look at the quarterbacks that have not completed a pass over 30 or more yards, and I know Rodgers doesn't fall into that category, but the way Rodgers got there was very fluky, right? So we're not seeing him attack downfield so far this season. It's Caleb Williams, it's, you know, Will Levis, it's the worst quarterbacks that are not being able to get the ball downfield. Rodgers should not be meeting that criteria. He had some chances last week against Garrett Wilson where maybe he was a little gun-shy. I think you see a more aggressive Aaron Rodgers in this game, and that means his number one wide receiver attacking down the field. I'll take over 22.5 for a longest reception for Garrett Wilson. I mentioned the Ramondre Stevenson receiving yards. That number was 14.5. It's up to 16.5. This is simply an attempt to try and buy low on a guy who has so far actually been one of the top targets for this offense, which isn't surprising. Despite Bill Belichick being out the door, it has not stopped the fact that the Patriots' pass-catching rooms are always devoid of talent. Ramondre Stevenson is tied for the second most targets on this football team. So far this year, though, with 8 targets, it's led to 5 receptions, but more importantly, 3 yards per reception. That is half his career average. Just go back to last season, it was at 6.3. You'll notice his receptions prop at 2.5 is heavily juiced towards the over here. I think Ramondre Stevenson tonight could get one catch and get us 10 yards, 10 plus, and it'll put us right where we need to be. And factoring in that I'm on the Jets tonight, laying 6 points is also big. We could see the first true trailing situation here for this Patriots offense, which I think then could lead to a ton of dump downs for Ramondre Stevenson. I wouldn't hate laddering up some of his receiving yards props tonight here, just based on where the game script is. Maybe even ladder up the receptions if he's going to continue to be inefficient all in all on his catches. The Rodgers anytime touchdown we've covered. The only other thing, as I mentioned, and I tweeted this out earlier to people, is attacking with some Breece Hall alts. And if you look through 2 games, the New England rush attack was very good in their week 1 performance or week 2 game against Seattle. Not so much against Cincinnati, but they didn't run the football enough, the Bengals, in that game. I don't want to chase the straight number tonight on Breece Hall. I want to chase the ceiling. I want to chase one of the most explosive runners in the National Football League, getting to his, you know, that top number, 120 plus. It's 10-1. We, you know, I'm sure a lot of you out there have your no sweats and free bets and things like that. That's how I'm attacking Breece Hall tonight, looking to hit a ceiling with Breece. I did find a good 13.5 number that I slapped the profit boost on for his longest rush tonight. He has cleared that in each of the first 2 weeks so far this season. So some Breece Hall action is in there as well. We're coming up against a break. We'll come back quickly.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We'll hit the Major League Baseball board and the regular season finale night in the WNBA next on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Up with the rest of the wild card. Atlanta grabbed the win today. They need help. They need Arizona or the Mets to lose in their games. It's not the greatest spots, right? I mean, the Mets are home, playing for a lot more. The Diamondbacks, while albeit on the road, the Brewers are playing for absolutely nothing. But those are the kind of relevant spots that you have on the slate. Yanks are in action right now, trailing to the Seattle Mariners. But the Mariners booked as favorites in this one with Logan Gilbert going. And again, the Yankees are coming off of a champagne game. And I know sometimes people like to fade that. In Major League Baseball, they pop champagne a ton. Like, the Yankees popped it because they got in. Do they also pop it when they win the American League East? That's too much. And then you pop when you win a wild card. It's like, I don't know. It's a very interesting thing in baseball. They pop, like, bottles about a million times. Also, Ohtani watch. No home run for Ohtani, but he does have a 3-for-3, three RBI game. He swiped two bases in this game, though, so he's at 51 stolen bases. So Ohtani now needs two home runs the rest of the way here. You kind of had to figure he was going to always do this at home. Three against Colorado. Three at home against San Diego, and then if by some miracle he doesn't have it by then, he closes the season out at Coors. If he goes into that series against Colorado with 49 home runs, I think you will see minus numbers on Ohtani to hit a home run. Especially if he goes into the final game of the regular season, it might be minus 125. It might be a good bet. W tonight, a loaded slate here as we try and see how this all finishes out. There's a few situational spots that I'm interested in. The first is Mystics Fever. And I'm trying to find basically the highest level up Caitlin Clark 3-point prop or points prop that is available. Caitlin Clark has made 123s this season. And that is 8 shy of the record for a single season belonging to Sabrina Ionescu of last year, where she made 128. Now, in reality, Clark does not need to chase that number because she'll just break it next year. But realistically, that's how that's going to go, is she'll just break it next year. But if she's aware of it, the game for the Fever, I believe, is meaningless. I mean, if they win, they would be 2 over .500 as opposed to finishing the season flat .500. I don't think the game matters for their win total. I want to say it was 21.5. I could be wrong on that. I didn't bet their win total. So maybe it matters if it was 20.5 for those bettors. But if Caitlin tonight does play and plays a full game, she took 14 threes in her last game against Dallas. She might go for their single-season record of made threes. If she's aware of it, she might hunt it down. The other spot tonight, and this one is really interesting, and I'm a little confused by it, but the Seattle Storm are favored in Phoenix. Seattle with absolutely nothing to play for. We know they're going to be without Ezzy, and Jewel Lloyd could miss this game as well, are playing the Mercury in what is possibly going to be the last ever home game that Diana Taurasi plays in. She has not said that she will officially be retiring. I think if she doesn't retire, she'll probably go into next season saying that it'll be her last year. There is a vibe that you can almost tell from Phoenix, like, listen, like, this could be it. This could be it. Now, Phoenix will be in the playoffs, but the way the WNBA playoff format goes is the lower seed, it's a best of three, so it's first to two wins. They'll play Minnesota in round one, the Mercury. They'll go at Minnesota. They lose those games, season's done. They'll never make it back to Phoenix. I'm just saying, the final home game for Taurasi up against a team who the result, it matters absolutely nothing for. If you want to bet the final night of the W narrative style, which is how a lot of people bet the final night of NBA action, final baseball board, final NFL board. If you want to bet it narrative style, the narrative is to play the Phoenix Mercury on the money line there at plus 106. All right, we got Donnie Wrightside checking in here. We're live if you want a Thursday on SportsGrid. We'll be back after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live right here on Sports Grid. I was talking about the Ohtani home runs. Donnie Wrightside, of course. He just hit a two-run homer tonight.
Did he really?
4-for-4 with five RBI.
What's the score in that game?
In this 9-3.
Yeah, hammering him. Just like last night.
I know someone who's been parlaying him for stealing a home run in the same game for like the last couple of games.
Yeah, makes sense.
They kept it going. He's one home run away from a 50-50 season. You the MVP?
Yes.
Not even close?
Not even close.
Okay.
I mean, a 50-50 club. Like, think about that all time. It doesn't – the mind doesn't even compute to that. And next year he's going to pitch as well. Get out of town, man.
I still – not to get too lost on baseball, but I still don't know if I would let him pitch if I was the Dodgers. I know that's why you technically paid him. He's about to win MVP, though, without throwing a pitch. Why bother?
Look at their pitching staff. Shambles this year. Shambles next year.
My point is, that's what always happens with pitching staffs.
Yeah.
If he gets injured again and then you lose the arm and the bat, it's a monster mistake. I can't risk. Can you really? Is that worth it?
But if you would look at the Dodgers, like the way you play it out this year, they're going to go into the playoffs really talented and really down on pitching at this point.
Yeah.
So next year you're going to say, I can add a guy who might even be in the Cy Young award market by the time we hit next August. You got to let him pitch. And also, it's not like, hey, we got him cheap here. Let's just use him at the plate. You paid a lot of money because he can pitch and hit. You might as well let him pitch.
Very interested to see what his MVP price is next year, knowing that he's supposed to pitch again, because it's going to be under 2-1. Under 2-1 to win NL MVP?
Think about what he's doing this year. Like, a DH isn't supposed to win the MVP in the NL. He's so dominant at the plate that it doesn't matter. He's doing his – when I always talk about, Kevin, like, historic things, 50-50 is never supposed to be in the equation, because 50 home runs means you're a slug, you barely get on – you know what I mean? You're stealing two bases a year. He's got 50.
Yeah. No, he does. He's having a heck of a season. I still, every time he has, like, a big RBI game, I'm like, can I get that RBI lead bet I took?
Yeah.
Nah, Aaron Judge with 136, way out in front. Last thing on the baseball, anything that's not played yet that you'll bet?
Yeah, you know what's funny? They tip ball, it's, 7:15 apiece. It's Philadelphia and it's New York and also Pittsburgh and St. Louis. Usually you take a look at the playoff atmosphere, which is going to be happening today at up in Queens. Walker and Severino, much better pitcher on the side for the New York Mets for me. Total in that game sits at 8. Here's why I like the over in this one. If we're checking it out, last 60 days, minimum 20 innings pitched over those past 60 days for these two pitchers. Look at Taijuan Walker, 0-3 record here, 25 2/3 innings pitched, a 5.41 xFIP number, which the danger zone is like 4.5. He's way above that. The Mets are hot at the plate. They'll hit. Now, I do understand that you're getting a little bit better pitcher on the opposite side with Severino. It's a good Phillies lineup. They've hit right-handed pitching very well. That game goes over the total. And another one, which a little bit more comfortable, two teams not going anywhere. It's Pittsburgh and it's St. Louis, Ortiz and Fetty. Ortiz has one of the highest xFIP numbers over the past 60 days, and then you take a look at St. Louis with Fetty. He's not very good either. That line was 8 this morning. It's basically 8.5 across the board. Kevin, I still think they get the 9 runs, so usually I go unders at this time of the year. I like two overs in these spots at 7:15.
All right, could be some juice out there on the baseball board. You mentioned Queens. Let's keep it in New York. Yeah. Jets-Patriots tonight, Thursday night football. 6.5-point number right now. Some flat sixes, 38.5 total, pretty much anywhere I'm seeing in this game. Are you looking to bet the side or the total tonight?
I'm not necessarily anymore, like, basically a side or total better, but obviously we're going to be picking these games. And usually for me, Kevin, it is home team or no team. I've always said that. You know, last week the Buffalo Bills go on the road. They get an easy cover on Thursday night. If I'm looking towards this, sometimes it's about, hey, that's hard to travel, which means you go from Boston, Kevin, to South Beach, or you go from Boston out to the West Coast. You're basically taking a train down to New York City, which barely would take any time at this point. So I take the travel out of the equation. And also, you're looking at a total that's 38.5. So unless the Jets run away with this one 24-7, which technically they could do, I probably would lean more on taking the points. But having said that now, I don't have a single wager, Kevin, on the side right now.
Yeah, I think that that's fair enough. I wonder if the home team advantage, Donnie, for a Thursday night kicks in more when we get to late October, November. I think that that's possible. I'm on the Jets in this game, though. The thing that I might not be factoring in enough are the linebacker questions that we have in this game for the Jets, and really the defense as a whole. We know it was not good against the ground of Jordan Mason and the Niners. Mm-hmm. I do think that's a different animal, though. We know how good that run game has always been. They gave up 130 on the ground to the Tennessee Titans, but 38 of those yards on just four carries did belong to Will Levis. They kept the running backs under 3.5 yards per carry. I thought they showed well enough defensively as far as run defense goes. I know I trust the secondary.
Now, and also, you're taking a look at, we're only talking about the injuries to, I guess, the linebacking core and some to the New York Jets in their pass rush. The offensive line for the New England Patriots is really banged up. And also, styles make fights. Yes, you can run the football theoretically on the New York Jets, but also, how long is that running game going to be viable tonight? The reason I bring that up, what happens if the Jets come out, get out to a 7-0 lead, get out to a double-digit lead in the first? You know, Jacoby Brissett is not that guy who I talk about as one of those, I'm going to lead you to victory teams, and excuse me, players on teams. He's going to be the guy that's going to manage the game plan, yeah, which also lays into, don't the Jets know coming into this game, what does New England want to do? They want to run the football. Is Robert Saleh on that defense going, oh my God, I can't even believe they handed off 22 times in the first half. We didn't expect that. Of course you're going to expect that. I just look at the wide receivers are so weak for New England. The secondary, theoretically, Kevin, so strong for the Jets that all of your playmaking skills should be focused on stopping the running game and then handling the passing game.
Yeah, now since we're talking Jets defense, let's bring up Haason Reddick, who won't be playing tonight.
Yep.
I know Philly Twitter is wondering if he's going to be on his way back. I still think that this is one of the more bizarre situations that we probably don't cover enough. And maybe some of that is because it's just, it's unimaginable. Maybe Reddick's not a big enough star. Maybe it's because it's too early. It's not killing the Jets yet. But they traded for a top-of-the-market edge rusher, and he's actually not shown up. This is going to be the third game he's missed. Guys missing training camp and practices, we hand wave that all the time. For a third game, Donnie, is a really big deal. There has to be a resolution.
Here's the issue, though. Like, the reason why he's not on the Philadelphia Eagles isn't because he didn't like the city of Philadelphia. He's from southern New Jersey. Of course he likes the area. He was getting paid well, but when you have a chance to strike and you say, Kevin, I get double-digit sacks every single year. Yeah. I'm the leader on this defensive line. I want more money. Philadelphia says no. Then they go, okay, let's make some phone calls here. And who doesn't want an elite pass rusher? And the Jets go, we got a dominant defense. We got Aaron Rodgers. Our window is now. Let's get this guy. But you didn't work out the financial details before you pulled the trigger on the trade. That's ludicrous. And also, by the way, shout out Haason Reddick. Players don't do this much. Hey, Haason, you're going to make about $15 million this year. Okay, that sounds great. Well, we've already been fined like $3 million, and it's like $1 million per week. And he's like, I'm not budging. That's incredible. Usually players cave at the last minute and show up and say, I'll take what I can get at this point. I tried to prove my point, and it didn't get over. But he's not showing up. And the Jets are saying, you're not going to even get negotiated with until you show up. And he goes, well, I'm not going to show up until you negotiate with me. It's incredible.
It is so strange. And I don't know if you are the Jets, I think, I know you already kind of traded something, but this is not one of those situations where you just can sit on it and not get the player into your room. You are a, at minimum, playoff or bust team.
Correct.
And you were banking on this guy being a contributor. And you sent out, now I know he's not performed for Philly, Bryce Huff, yet, but you sent out a contributor in this whole process there. There has to be a team, Donnie, willing to pay Haason Reddick what he wants. And that team might even end up paying around less what the Jets, sometimes a bridge is burned.
Yeah.
James Harden and Daryl Morey, right?
Correct.
Bridge burned, get me out of here, that's all it is. Reddick may never put on a Jets uniform. It is up to the Jets, though. Someone will pay Haason Reddick. They have to find that team.
Yes, and the thing now is, at least in the NFL, right, when you're trying to measure up and you say, we have a trade deadline in the past, there was always a trade deadline. Nobody ever got traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
So somebody will pay up, because here's what's going to happen. Attrition is going to take place through the NFL season, which means, Kevin, injuries are going to happen. Wait to a Super Bowl contender, and I'm not even, let's just use the San Francisco 49ers. Bosa goes down. They're sitting midway through the season, 7-2. They probably would make that move and say, you know what, we'll bite the bullet, we'll pay some money, we'll shift some things around, and next year we'll have to make some of those where do we have to trade Deebo Samuel, move on from Brandon Ayuk. You get the point here.
Yeah.
He's not sitting out the entire year. That's not happening.
And how about even some teams, Donnie, who maybe didn't know how aggressive they could be? Tampa Bay and Seattle, two 2-0 teams
point.
That absolutely could use a premier edge rusher. Maybe they get the job done. We'll see how this all shakes out, but we know he's not playing tonight in a big Thursday game. Let's look at some of that Sunday slate next. It's Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with Donnie Rideside.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Most important topics in sports wagering: real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live, it's Game Time Decisions. We're with you on a Thursday. We will be with you Sunday, of course, Pro Football Today, with Joe Lisi joining myself and Donnie. And Donnie, it's going to be a good Sunday slate for
great
us
slate
to cover. There's been some interesting line moves. One that surprised me is the Seattle-Miami move.
Mm-hmm.
That number was 5.5 very early, went up to 6.5, and by Tuesday, it's a 4.5-point spread. Now, maybe I'm less surprised and more annoyed because I thought, oh, I might be interested in betting Miami myself,
yeah,
but not at 4.5. I feel Seattle has shown well through their first two games. I think Mike McDonald has them playing good defensively. What have you made of the line movement here in Miami's favor, knowing Skylar Thompson's getting the ball in this one?
I think it makes sense. And the reason I'm going to say that is, if you take most people are going to watch that game against the Buffalo Bills, they got rolled. I don't care, Tua or no Tua, they're getting blown out with Tua. Skylar Thompson comes in, looks like a deer in the headlights. Oh, my goodness, he can't play. They got to go out and make a move to get Matthew Stafford at quarterback. Well, let's slow down here on the Miami Dolphins. Used to have an elite wide receiving core that, granted, if you can complete slant passes, Kevin, they can go to the distance. And you say, okay, how do you protect a younger quarterback who does actually have some starts in the league, including a playoff start, and also he's going to take all the reps this week with a catered game plan that's just for him? And did I mention Devon Achane in the backfield? He can go the distance on any carry. Raheem Mostert, who missed last week, he does have a chest injury, he's questionable. Let's see he plays. A dominant tandem at running back, a solid offensive line, and one of the best wide receiving corps 1-2 punch in the NFL. Going up against a non-dominant team, I would say, in Seattle. Quality team, should they be favored? Absolutely. But I think that buy-in from, oh my goodness, the sky is falling in Miami, to now some sharp money going like, now hold on. Let's do the math here. Should they be able to go up and win? Maybe not, but they'll be able to hang around. There's too much talent, Kevin, on the Dolphins for that.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting where if – I think the tricky bit of it, though, Donnie, is trying to find the value of Tua versus Skylar Thompson in terms of a point spread.
Yeah.
If I told you Tua was the starter, that'd be weird because, you know, they got smashed in that game.
Yeah.
What would you expect this line to be?
It's under 3. I would say this. If the line, what was the line early in the week we were talking about? The 5 and let's just call 5 and a half then. I think this line would be about 2.5.
But
honestly,
still Seattle favored, right? You're saying? Because here's my thing. Tua to Skylar. I know people don't love Tua.
Yeah.
That's more than a 2 point.
You know what?
Look,
I'll drop it a little bit lower. Let's go Seattle Seahawks still favored at -1.5. How about that?
I think that's totally reasonable. But then again, here becomes a tricky thing. Tua to Skylar, a field goal move? 4? 5? I'm not sure, ultimately, right? I knew when Tua was injured on Thursday, right, and I saw their upcoming schedule, I would be interested in Miami at 7. We're not getting 7, obviously. I didn't think it would be this short, though.
Tua playing good football, 6 points probably, right? Because it's a good point you bring up. You saw week number one. You see the numbers for 200 or 300 yards. They probably should have lost that game. They didn't. They won. Congratulations. They came back.
Yeah.
Week number two. If we complete that game, and let's just say Tua runs to the 1 yard line, they still get stuffed at that point. He doesn't get the concussion. They get beat by 3 touchdowns. That's not dominant Tua at that point. Do you know what I mean? So if the Buffalo Bills were lost to the Miami Dolphins, then it's different because Tua's playing really well. They were getting blown out while Tua was in that game, and that has to be a factor.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I also think that it's Skylar Thompson is transitioning as the week goes on to from, oh, you can't play him to, oh my goodness, remember when Skylar Thompson covered in that playoff game and he's getting a lot of love. Quick update for Thursday Night Football. CJ Mosley inactive tonight.
Oh, okay.
Now you've got kind of 2 starting linebackers down here. I think what you'll probably see in terms of the market, Donnie, a flat six becoming the primary number. If it's 5.5, that's more of a dead zone anyway. I wouldn't be too moved if that became the case.
I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to get the updated numbers just to see if they actually come back in there. But if we are looking and saying, you know, linebacker's down, it's usually baked into it. We were probably a good idea 2 days ago that he wasn't going to play. And also, it's a linebacker. It's not a star wide receiver. It's not a star quarterback at this point. I would say very minimal. But if you are New England, you say, you know what, maybe we run the football a little bit more. We'll see how it affects it. But for me, negligible at this point.
Now, let's go back to the Sunday slate because there's a little bit of news out there that it does feel up your alley. Yet I can't make heads or tails of it just yet. The Jordan Love practicing thing.
Yes.
I don't think there's any chance he plays. But boy, they are very quick to tell us he's practicing. And I don't. Is this nothing? Is this something? What's the story here?
We did this morning on the early line, and I was popping off already because I understand how the NFL works. And yes, there is a small percentage chance that Kevin, I could be wrong. You've got to be kidding me. Everybody, any doctor, and the Packers told you 3 to 4 weeks minimum here, which means it could actually be longer, and the chances that it's shorter would be a miracle for 3 weeks. I understand he's practicing. Kevin, everybody feels good, bouncing around in the pocket. Nobody's chasing you. Tennessee's got a pretty good defense here. If you can't defend yourself at 100%, why would you run him out here? And also, you're not going in to play Kansas City full blast and say, the only way we can win this game is if we have Jordan Love and he plays extremely well. Malik Willis was good last week. You go on the road, it's basically a field goal game. You can win without him. Who's on deck next week, Kevin? Do you know who's on deck for them? It's the Minnesota Vikings. Which game is more important, theoretically, to make sure your quarterback is 100% healthy for the season? There is no way Jordan Love is playing this weekend.
So I agree. I will say I saw this earlier. I believe the Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, says week 4. For Jordan Love, which is even earlier than I would have anticipated for Love. So that does seem on the board, which then led to me checking into something. Jordan Love has moved between 50 and 60 to 1 to win league MVP. Now, I'm not in on Green Bay, all in all, too much this year, but that's a huge number.
Yeah.
If he only misses 2 weeks of football, there's a caveat. I know you'll agree. Even if he comes back week 4, if they go 2-0 without him, he can't win MVP. He has no chance.
I don't know about that.
Here's
the part, though. Here's the part. Nobody is running away with anything in the NFC. So you might be able to even get that discount now in Jordan Love that he's out. Like, I actually would actually bet him to win the MVP. Because Baker Mayfield, is having a good season, but he only threw one last week on top of that 4. So it's 5 through 2 weeks. Some quarterbacks last year could start, 7 touchdown passes in the first 2 weeks of the season. So this year, more than ever, you might be able to come back. And also, their 1-1 record, right up there.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
In the NFC.
It is. Again, I think it's there's a reason I'm circling it myself. If they go 2-0 without him, I think you just then have to, and it's obviously a way shorter number, you just got to get the little floor.
You're staying with Malik at that point, then.
Well,
he doesn't even come. Staying with Malik.
Controversy.
The controversy there. Cut the guy, refinance that contract, get out of it.
Gardner Minshew dream. We'll be right back. It's Game Time Decisions. We're live with you on a Thursday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Your take on the Mahomes number.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy. I think it's way wrong at plus 260. He has not been, let's go, like, top 5 quarterback to start the year. Like, I don't think he's been close to that. I know they're 2-0, and I know record is the leading factor, but why is he half the number of Josh Allen and CJ Stroud?
I just think the expectations for the Kansas City Chiefs, no matter what happens, is they're going to win that division, end up with 12 wins at this point. And we've seen it before where his wide receiving core isn't all that good. It's damaged goods right now. Travis Kelce doesn't even look like he's half the player was last year. And sometimes it just doesn't matter. You have Patrick Mahomes. Because you'll find out this week, they play Atlanta. Probably more of a slowdown game. They're still favored on the road. I know a lot of sharp angles there coming in on Atlanta. But these are the games that we roll in. Like, why do we just doubt him? Like a three-point game with Kansas City, why aren't you just taking them? So I do look at that and say, nobody is running away with anything just yet to get out fast. And as long as Patrick Mahomes is there, Kevin, he's going to be fine.
50-50 club.
You just popped one?
Get it, yeah.
Amazing.
How about doing this in style? Here's your live reaction to Shohei Ohtani, who will eventually win NL MVP his first year in the National League.
Give him the AL MVP, too, already.
You know what? Enough of the multiple MVPs.
Exactly.
Shohei Ohtani, needing to join the 50-50 club, needed entering this game one steal and two home runs. He instead showed up to this game, gave you two steals, two home runs, 5 for 5 at the dish with 3 runs scored and 7 RBI. Ladder every single number you could humanly find. Shohei Ohtani just made history in South Beach, Donnie, and is going to be winning another MVP, well, probably in, what, February this year, whenever they give that thing out?
Could have did it in L.A., probably in front of 50,000, and said he does it in Florida in front of 5 people. So was there anybody even cheering? Did you hear the actual home run hit the seat because nobody was there to catch it? That's what I'm assuming.
Did they, and maybe Mishman was on this,
ooh,
did they sell out, like, tonight? Because that's how this stuff, when guys are chasing history.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, do they do well?
Do they even know the Marlins are even playing at this point now? I mean, it's football season in Florida.
It was.
Come on, man, Cam Ward. Oh, have a conversation. Place is lit down there.
Did Cam Ward show up to this game?
That's true.
The real question.
NIL money, get over there, Lone Depot Park, whatever
Dodgers
it's called now.
Uniform, like, yep. Showing respect
exactly.
To the right side. Wow, 50-50 club.
That's incredible.
I've always appreciated when guys do things in style. Like, I think Jeter, maybe like the 3,000th hit, was a home run. A-Rod might have also done the same thing. 50-50 club, Donnie. He goes five. I think he joined the 40-40 club with a walk-off grand slam or something like that. 5 for 5, 7 RBI, and multiple steals in this game. I mean, that's just crazy.
I mean, we're holding out for – we don't hold out in baseball. The guy should hold out for even more money on his contract next year. Like, again, people that, you know, growing up through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, like, man, that guy hit 20, had 20 stolen bases and 20 home runs.
Yeah.
Then you see the 30-30 club. That's unbelievable. 40-40 off the – 50-50 club, it doesn't even resonate. That's never supposed to happen in Major League Baseball. It's just not suboptimal from a player to say, I'm going to have 50 steals and 50 home runs, which means he's that athletic to be able to do that. It's outrageous.
Yeah,
it just is.
It is absolutely wild. What a moment for – I mean, we'll do this one last kind of dance on the grave, though.
Yeah.
If you're the Angels, how do you not fold up the franchise?
Now, hold on. This guy went for 50-50, the most talented player in Major League Baseball. He's going to be the MVP. Like, Kev, wait to see the 6 pitchers we got for this guy. Do you know what the Angels got for him? Ugats. Zero. They the best player maybe in the history of the sport talent-wise, you got nothing for him. Nothing.
It's crazy. I mean, it's so bad. And then just Trout's there wasting away. Well, he's injured again. But, I mean, he liked being in L.A. so much, he just went across town.
The biggest market possible. Like, the biggest spotlight possible.
He told them he was going to leave.
Yes.
And they were like, let's buy at the deadline.
And the GM actually got an extension this year with how well he's doing that job out there. Good job, Perry.
Yeah, again, so a little bit of breaking here on Game Time. not last time the Jets were playing on primetime, we had breaking news, which was McCaffrey wasn't going to play, and then he got shut down for at least 4 weeks. Instead, we get 50-50 club. Shohei Ohtani, as the Dodgers are up with the Miami Marlins. Good for the Miami Marlins cracking into a September conversation one way or another. We will handle the live coverage tonight alongside Joe Lisi. If you're like, hey, too much baseball, don't worry. Your pregame show starts right now with Casey Hudson here on Sports Grid.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.